You're listening to Dentistry's Growing with Grace podcast.
I'm Grace Rizza. I'm very excited to have my good friend Penny Reed here with me today. Hi, Penny. Thanks for joining.
Hello, Grace. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So I'm excited for today, especially because we have a lot of fun when we talk together. So I think people can buckle up and get ready for some interesting conversation. I want to jump right in and ask you just an open-ended question. What do you think is one of the biggest obstacles that doctor owners are facing in 2019?
I think, doctors may say it's the PPOs, right? So I don't want to say that those are not impacting dentistry, because they do. I think it's focus. There's so much more technology out there to pick from. There's so many more dental books. There's so much more everything, distraction. And so I think making good decisions and knowing what to focus on and keeping the team focused.
I think, I want to speak to that. I agree. I think one of my biggest obstacles as a business owner is focus. I want to do everything, every good idea I want to implement. And I think a lot of doctors will go to like a CE event, or they'll read a new book, and then they go into the practice and they want to implement everything right now.
I agree.
So talk to me about how you help doctors create change while having extreme focus.
Okay. So this has been, I've been at this about 25 years now. And to quote my good buddy, Linda Miles, she's so funny. She says, I feel like I need to give a refund to the doctors that I worked with in the first 3 or 4 years that I did, practice management consulting. And in some ways I feel that way too, right? It's an ever evolving process for me. And the focus piece, you've got to have systems in place. But if you've got the systems in place and you don't have the people part figured out, right? Focus is, it's focusing on the system, right? The system doesn't necessarily give you the focus. So it really comes back to culture and defining, what is it that we really value? What's most important? What actions do we want to take? And getting the buy-in from the team. So, having a really focused business owner is awesome. Mm-hmm. But if they're focused and the rest of the team's not focused, right, or they can't get the rest of the team bought in, it still makes for an awful lot of frustration. So I think it begins with having that focus. I think having a coach, and hey, I do coaching. If any of the people listening want to have a conversation with me, I would love that. Having a coach that's the right fit. Right? There's all different styles. I've worked with a couple of different ones. And right now I work with Mark LeBlanc. And one of the best things that he tells me, which this is why I'm giving him credit for this, because I'll mention it to my clients, it's like Thanksgiving Day. And I don't know what you do, Grace, on Thanksgiving Day, but at our house, there's a lot of food, right? And I go through the line and I'm like, oh, sweet potatoes, turkey and dressing. And then you wind up with too much on your plate. And maybe a whole lot of that yucky green Jell-O with the mystery stuff in it.
You're not sure bad stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. And so you're like, wow, I took up space on my plate for the funky green Jell-O when really it was just too much, or I would have rather had more sweet potatoes. So it's having that focus to say, hey, these other things may be good, but they're not best.
I love that analogy.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking. I'm giving him credit for it. I there's no point in recreating one. And it's a struggle for me. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things people will say, well, what does having a coach do for you? And not that he doesn't give me great ideas, just like we give, hopefully, great ideas to clients. It's about being focused, being intentional, because we all have only so many hours in the day, days of the week. We have so many resources. And if we're continuously looking for, not that there aren't best practices out there, but so many people, they'll hop from coaching company to coaching company, or from marketing company to marketing company, or, first they're using, one system to do their patient confirmations. Well, now they're switching to another one. They're on their fourth one. Not to say that maybe they didn't make great choices. More than likely, it wasn't the the software that wasn't working for them, right? It has to do with not, you know, having the systems and resources and the people focus in place to make the best out of whatever that is.
So, back to the Thanksgiving thing, because now I'm hungry.
Okay.
I've got like four or five things that I have to have on my plate on Thanksgiving, and I don't even make the rest of the stuff. Like, I don't know why people eat cranberries and all that. I go a little bit of turkey, gravy, stuffing, the green bean casserole, a little bit of that, and sweet potatoes. Those things, and I'm good. So I know what my Thanksgiving priorities are. What I hear you saying is to prioritize. So you're calling it focus and being intentional. And in my mind, I'm looking at it as, okay, everything, all those things, all those Thanksgiving items I want to eat, but how much do I want of each one? And what do I want to fill up on first? So I'm going to give a shout out to my good friend, Dr. Uche Odiatu, because I learned this from him at some point, that if you fill up on the good stuff, then you don't use as much of your caloric intake on the not so good stuff. So he would want me to eat like a salad first or something like that. Is it true that we're really talking about priority right now? Prioritize.
Absolutely. So it's priorities. And what I would say is taking it from focus to extreme focus, right? Okay. And hey, I'm a multitasker. You are, a lot of us multitask, but the reality of it is you can only do one thing really well at a time, right? And then in a certain amount of time, you can maybe only do three or four. So the extreme focus is on those top priorities. And I've begun to do with my clients, you know, I have a management degree. I don't really know what I thought I was going to do with that when I got it, you know, 27, 28 years ago. I thought it was about managing processes. I really didn't get that business management had a lot to do with the people part. And trying to give a simple project management approach, especially to the multi-location offices that we work with, and putting things in those lanes. Everything can't be in the in-process lane.
Yeah. What I've had a lot of fun doing in my own business is creating that ridiculous list, that ridiculous to-do list, all the things that keep me up, all the things I want to change, all the things I want to do, and then going, what people can I have be leaders in these different areas, and then I'm checking in so that although I may not be having extreme focus, I think I'm your target market, Penny. Like, I think
I'm the
focused person that I know. And that's probably like my biggest downfall. I want it all moving like right away, like yesterday, like get it done.
Well, but you've put a culture in place, right? And hey, there's no perfect organizational structure, but you've got a culture in place that says, and I've not seen how you guys manage things.
Got to.
But it's the, okay, these are all the things that we want to get done. And we're doing this now with our group practices that have, you know, team leaders over different things. So this is what we want to get done. Whose lane does it need to be in?
Yes.
Right. And if it's, you know, my mission is always the doctor should have little to nothing in their lane. Right. I mean, it's just, they're the ones that are saying, okay, this needs to be done. This needs to be done so that they can go in and look at that project board. They can look at the activity. It makes the meetings not take near as long. I want to know if Susie did this or Jane did that. And then we also have, it's the done column, but I call it done hallelujah because it just makes it more, it's like, woo, what did we move to done hallelujah? It just, you know, makes it a little bit more fun, but that's no, I totally agree. So your ability, there are things I would imagine that only Grace can do, right? So if we made you Dr. Grace, right, for the moment, you only need to have in your lane.
See, and that is
the things that only you
can
do.
That's a concept, because I love this. And I love when there's not total agreeance on a podcast, because all too often it's all like, yeah, I agree. But I've actually changed my mindset from there are things that only I can do, and there probably are, but I want to get my business to the point where there's nothing that only I can do. So
right.
I'm currently training speakers, training people in marketing strategy constantly. But right now the thing, there's always something that only I can do. So right now the thing that only I can do is training other people to do the other things that I thought only I could do.
Right. Which I think it's an ever evolving process. The only thing, the things that only you can do, you're the only one that can be Grace. Mm-hmm. You're the only one ultimately that can make the decision about how you spend your money and how you spend your time. Right. And so I think that's just part of the evolution. The business owners that do the best. And I remember the first business coach that we had, and I had a different team at the time. And it was one of these times where we came to the call. I was going through just a really crappy time in my life. Mm-hmm. I was going through a divorce. I had moved in with my parents. I was literally, and I probably have a lot of clients that don't even know this. I was working and sleeping out of a 10 by 11 space, right? I mean, it was rough. And we came to a call with our coach and he was asking, well, how's this going? And it was just this repeated me saying, okay, that's my bad. That didn't get handled. I'll recommit. Here's when I'll have it done by. And he was just brilliant because he did it in a way that allowed me to save face. It really didn't throw the team under the bus, but he said, okay, hang on just a moment. How many wheels are on this bus? And at the time there were six of us. And, wow. And so the team said, well, there's two because there's two owners. He said, how many wheels are on this bus? How many people are on this call? And one of our team members said six. He said, so if you had one wheel that was slightly out of alignment, the rest of the bus going to follow that wheel? And he said, 80%, and they were saying, well, Penny's the only one that knows how to do this, and she's the only one that, and it was my, like, I became this big bottleneck.
Yes, and that's what happens as a business grows, we become the bottleneck.
Absolutely, and so he said, 80% of something is better than 100% of nothing, and then I joke and say, you know, unless it's a dental procedure, right, and then probably that's not true, or 80% of a heart bypass, but in other words, get it 80% there, you do it and see, then bring it.
That's what I do. So I've got this phrase in my business that done is better than perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect doesn't exist. So Absolutely. A lot of leadership in my world is retraining people to not be functioning on a perfectionist level because that really holds them back. And one of the things that we've implemented that I think other people could take and use and benefit from is we've got weekly meetings. And we talk about what we're doing. And sometimes when I seem
it's
overwhelmed,
11 o'clock.
Ooh, thank you, computer.
Yeah, hello, it's 11 o'clock. Thank 11 you. O'clock.
Sometimes when I'm, you know, in these meetings and I start to seem overwhelmed, the people who have been with me for a long time, and even some of my newer employees will say, I can help you with that. Or I'll say, who's really good at details, who could oversee something that needs a lot of detail-oriented eyes? And I did this in last week's meeting, and someone goes, and I go, oh my gosh, I wasn't even thinking of you, but you're the perfect fit for this. And it solves itself when you involve the team sometimes.
Absolutely.
I just love this. So
yeah,
what would you say to someone like me that's somewhat scattered, a little bit anxious, very anxious, excitable? I think like people like me, our biggest tendencies are to overwhelm other people.
I think so. I think you and I might be related. but I'll let you finish your question if there was anything else. Okay.
That's it. What would you say to someone like me that has a tendency to overwhelm people?
So here's the first thing that I would say is I think understanding, which I imagine that you do, but let's say I had not met you, understanding who's on your team, and we use the DISC, and I know there's a lot of different assessments out there. I've been using DISC for years. We use the DISC. In other words, what are your, let's look, Grace, at what your strengths are, and then let's look at what your weaknesses are. And our tendency is we want, initially, right, we want people that are just like us, when really what that does is that could create a whole lot of people that are overwhelming other people and stressed. And so we want to be sure that we've got the right people with you, but I always look within your own team, right? Who do we currently have? What are they accountable for? Not necessarily what are they doing, but what do they own?
Yeah.
Right? Ultimately you own the business, but what is it that they own that when they show up to the meeting, they're not like baby birds, you know, like the little waiting to be fed. It's like, oh, I wonder what Grace has for us today. But they're showing up and they're reporting in, right? Which I think is part of culture, creating an environment this is what they're showing up with, right? This yeah. is, these are the areas that they own. So if you didn't have people that were opposite of you, then I think we would look to find those that have those skill sets. And then as a team looking at, okay, there's not an ideal way to be, right? But this is who we have. And I played a lot of sports back in the day. And so basketball to me is an easy analogy because there's only five people on the court. So even if you didn't play, it's not like football where you're having to explain 11 positions. You know, if you are the one that's bringing the ball down the court, right? And let's say you're 5'7" and you've got someone else on your team that's 6'5", it makes the most sense that we're trying to get the ball to them, you know, up under the goal. If you're trying to do everything, right, then we're not executing our play. So in other words, if you're doing the point guard, who do we have as the outside guards or the forwards or who's playing center? And how do we, it's an investment on the front end of time and planning.
Yes.
Right? Make it giving clear picture, clear expectations. But once that system is in place, there's so much more that can be done. Do balls get dropped? Show me a business where they don't occasionally get dropped.
Yeah.
Right? The stronger the culture is, the fewer the balls get dropped and the more that can be accomplished. And I think the happier everybody can be. I don't think there's as much conflict when yeah. people are clear about what their roles are and when they're getting consistent feedback.
That's true. That's important. In the last year, I did this thing where I broke down the different roles on the team. And then I looked at the client flow. Like they come in and they talk to a strategist or whatever. And for a dentist, this would be the patient flow. They first encounter your marketing. And so that has to represent you properly. They know what to expect. They feel like they know you before they even come in. Mm-hmm. And then we've got to carry that over to whoever's fielding that call, or if they're making automated scheduling or whatever it is, we've got to make sure everything is in alignment. But we're looking at this flow. Where does the patient go? And that goes all, even when we're building a website, we look at what do we want them to look at first, second, third, and what action do we want to create on the website? We don't want to send them somewhere off into space and then they're not going to come back and schedule.
Right.
We'll make that mistake. So we're looking at the flow and we're looking at what do we want their experience to be all the way through to accepting treatment, becoming a loyal patient, referring friends and family through like the lifeline of a patient. And I wonder how many people like strategically look at that from the patient's perspective.
Probably, well, I'm sure some do. I think the vast majority get caught up in they get stopped with how do we get more new patients and how do we reduce broken and canceled appointments. You know, in other words, they're in the, the term proactive other than the medication proactive, but the term, you've got to be proactive. I think it's overused. And I think a lot of the time we don't understand what it really means. So I like to Sesame Street things. Right. I like to try to just make them super easy and usually an analogy outside of dentistry. So if we're not proactive, then we're firefighting. Right. Or think of we're continuously looking for the life preserver. Right. Yes. The round. But if we are being proactive, then we're fire preventing and we've got on the life vest. Right. So what you're talking about from the planning is. And thank you again. I just want to acknowledge you for sponsoring our Unleash the Magic of Culture retreat that we have coming up May 3rd and 4th. But it's a event like that, right? Or maybe you do it in your own office where we say, okay, we're stopping the production line, right? We're stopping everything. And this is what we're doing. Make it carving out that part of your plate. Right at Thanksgiving, where you're thinking, the green Jell-O was right here, so we put it on there. You don't need the green Jell-O, right? Mm-hmm. And deciding that you're going to walk through that whole part. But I see often, right? And there's a lot of really great dental business owner leaders out there, but the biggest struggle that I see is either not making the time to define it, like what you're talking about, or we define it and it's like, okay, we defined it, ready, break, and then there's not the how are we doing? We're not measuring. We're not, and what is it? Peter Drucker said, what gets measured gets managed. I say what doesn't get measured doesn't get managed very well.
Yeah. And, what gets measured,
why aren't we doing this?
And it improves. Absolutely. Looking at things, it improves if you're measuring it.
Absolutely.
So one of the things I've done as an intense, unfocused leader, because it's, I mean, I'm focused because I have to be, and I've learned to like force myself to be, but my natural tendency is to be excitable, scattered, and fast moving. Mm-hmm. But I've groomed a buffer. So I have an employee on my team that is, she's my buffer. So when I want to implement all this change, I go to her and she breaks it down into bite-sized pieces. Mm-hmm. And then helps to delegate and oversee that it actually gets done. So I would see this being in a really strong office manager doctor relationship, that the doctor's got one person that they can go through that mm-hmm. may be a little more systematic, level headed,
high attention to detail, consistent, almost a project management, and able to, not that they don't get excited, but they're not getting as excited about everything as you are. In other words, they're letting you be the visionary, and it's the how they can help you prioritize because they can see, you know.
And we're close enough to where she can put me in my place. So mm-hmm. if I come up with an idea on Friday afternoon and on Monday morning, I'm like, oh, where's that thing? Is that done? She's like, you just came up with this Friday afternoon. I'm like, oh, I did? Because I've been thinking about it for a week and a half in my head. You know what I mean? And so
I... Oh, no. Yeah. And I have someone like that. She's like, okay, hold on a minute. Her name is Holly. But you know what I'm saying? I intentionally picked her, well, partly because of her person. I mean, I like her.
Yes.
But also she has this high... She's almost my opposite when it comes to work style, which can make for some tension, right, from time to time. But I know she's got my best interest at heart. And every now and then, or she'll say, you know what? You have something like that already. That's my favorite.
Yes.
Right? It's like, you've already done this. Like,
yeah.
Look in Dropbox and I'll tell you where it is. And if you want to change the name of it, you've already done this. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, we have. So, no, I whether that's a personal assistant or an office manager or a project manager, I agree. If the doctor has your personality, mine and your personality type, business owner, that's what they need. If they are...
Are you a DI, Penny?
I'm a DI.
I'm a DI too. So, yeah.
Yeah. And my C is way, like, on a scale of 0 to 100, 0 being the lowest, if you were to look at it like a football field, I might be at the 17-yard line. And if I really try, maybe 21. I mean, it's just, it's not going to get any better, right? So it's the, you have to hire to help you with that. And there are more and more dentists now that have that higher dominant trait than there used to be.
Absolutely, because you don't have to go into ownership. You can be successful as, an associate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The challenge becomes if you've got someone who isn't high dominant, right? Or they're not very creative. That's where I think they've got to lean harder on an outside source. In other words, a high dominant, very creative, if they hire your company, they're going to say, okay, I kind of know what I want already, right? I think this would work really well. But the others are saying, we don't know, right? We don't know what we don't know. Help us, right? They want high direction from you. And then they've got to have some people on their team that are those spark plugs. It's like, hey, look, here's this community event.
And I think the high dominance personalities are better at marketing and leading and growing, and they have a harder time keeping like associates and office managers
and team members in general.
Yeah. So you've got, depending on your personality type, you're going to need some assistance in different areas, and none of us have it all. None of us are.
No, we don't.
So success is all in finding what we don't have mm-hmm. and finding what we do have and finding that in our team and creating systems that cater to our individual needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I did a Facebook Live yesterday afternoon with another sponsor for the Unleash the Magic event, Reese Reese Harper of Dentist Advisors. And I mean, I love doing these and talking about culture because he had a different perspective about culture in his team that was brilliant. And I had never really thought about before and correlating with Disney. And the essence of it, without walking you through all of it, is Disney has mastered understanding people.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you really want to have a successful culture in your own business, whether you're a dentist or a CEO of a widget company, the better you can understand people, right? And specifically your team and how to bring out the best in your team.
Yeah.
And I had another client that's actually coming to this event and I loved it. She said, Disney has to have a strong culture because the cast members greatly outnumber leadership. I mean, think about this. You know, in the dental office, we may think, oh, hey, I'm one doctor, I have 11 team members, or there's three doctors and there's 30 team members, we're outnumbered. Well, look at Disney, right? But if we understand people, they know that we care about them. We're doing our best to put people in. People get really stressed out usually when they're in a role that doesn't fit their skill set.
Yes.
Right. Or the priorities aren't clear. And there are occasions where they have too much to do. Yeah. Most of the time, from what I find in the dental office, it's not the too much to do. It's the prior. They were put in a role that is not a great fit for their work style, or they're being told, we want it done this way today, but oh no, next week we've changed our mind. Nope, we're changing it.
Yes. And I think I love what you're saying about culture, and it is so everything. It is the difference between being happy and being miserable in your life. And there tends to not be a whole lot of middle ground when you're running a business. It's usually like either you have a not healthy culture, you have a very healthy, it's either you've intentionally crafted it or you haven't yet.
Or it's driving you. That's what I say. Either you're driving the culture or it's driving you and you're at the effect.
And if you're not sure, because here's the thing, a lot of dentists, they can't compare their practice to other practices. So mm-hmm. whatever they experience is their normal. They don't know if it gets any better. They don't know if they're doing pretty good compared to other, you know, and, mm-hmm. and everything is based on what's around us. Everything's, you know, what is the word I'm looking for?
Comparison.
Yes. Synonym for comparison. Relative. Everything is relative.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I gauge culture for myself, and this started even when I was an employee before I had my business, is it's how I feel walking into the business. It's how mm-hmm. I feel driving to work, parking my car, getting out, and walking in. And however I feel, if I'm skipping in and excited to be there, I've achieved great culture. If I'm dreading it, and that rolls down to everyone else.
Absolutely.
So that's how I gauge where my culture is at. And every once in a while, even though I've intentionally thought about this for way too many hours, every once in a while I feel it slip.
Mm-hmm.
So you can build a really beautiful culture, but then you need tune-ups.
Absolutely. Well, it's like anything, you know, not to get super philosophical, but it's anything in this world. And as I mentioned to you, you know, we're blessed. We built a new house. We moved in October already. You know, I accidentally kicked the front of one of the steps coming upstairs that was painted white. The paint scuffed off of it. You know what? We're living in all of this. There are laws of the universe. If I pick up this pen and I drop it, what's going to happen? Right. So you've got to have that continuous focus. And if I had one, of course, then I would be out of breath. One of our pastors, he used this in a sermon. I'm not sure where he got it from, but it was brilliant. Your culture, think of it as inflating a balloon. Right. So we could inflate a balloon right here. You know, I could blow it up and I could tie it. Right. And I could set it down. What happens to that balloon a couple of days from now?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, they start to atrophy. And so I think there are these emotional laws of gravity. You know, we're not in outer space. Right. You can't put something in motion and it's just going to stay on that trajectory. There's There's our own stuff. It's the unfair laws of leadership, right? Yes. If you're a business owner, you do have to, even when everything's chaotic, you know what? You've got to practice what it is that you want. And I'm sure there are mild exceptions, but if you want the team at huddle ready to go at 7:45 a.m., that needs to be you, mm-hmm. not you coming in at the last minute waiting to, I mean, you at least need to be there, right? If you want them to manage their emotions, you have to manage yours, right? So we have a responsibility, not that I am successful at it all the time, because I am truly not. We have a responsibility to manage ourselves well as leaders so yeah. that the after effects, right? The aftershock of all of that doesn't show up and our team is having to deal with the fallout just because we're a hot mess.
Yeah.
It will impact the culture. Yeah, not that they don't need to be supported, but it will absolutely impact the culture.
Yeah. And I want to speak to that as well too, is if you are in a situation where you're dreading going into work and you're the business owner, I think there's too many excuses in dentistry. I think people yeah. get, you know, oh, well, I can't hire people because there's no one to hire in my area. Or I can't, just the words I can't.
Right.
Initially like trigger me, like I start to get frustrated because I want to just like gently shake whoever I'm talking to and be like, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only person who can change this.
Absolutely. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but what worth doing really is. And that inner voice, the languaging, because, and both of my parents have passed away. I love them dearly. They were wonderful people. Neither one of them, especially my dad, was super optimistic, right? He would give me motivational talks, but they didn't sound motivational, right? So, I mean, there was this slant. I think sometimes personality can be slanted a little bit more toward the negative. And so I'm sure I inherited a lot of that, right? I grew up around it. And there was a book that a colleague recommended to me 20-something years ago called Learned Optimism. And it's not necessarily the easiest read on the planet. It's by Dr. Marty Seligman. And every now and then I'll go back and reread it. It's all about the questions that we ask ourselves, right? And that whole inner voice of, you know, whatever that languaging is. And no, I hear you. And sometimes I'll even say it. It's, well, okay, I can't based on the current strategy I'm using.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's not possible.
One of my favorite books, I was looking to see if I had it over here, but one of my favorite books is, and it's one that I feel like the title of it isn't that great. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it in many years, but when I did read it, it was like a light bulb for me in recognizing that I had negative thought processes going on. I read it in my early 20s, which was a huge blessing. And it was called, it's called The Ultimate Secrets to Total Self-Confidence by Robert Anthony. And it's more of a self-help book than a business book, but it does train you on how to change those thought processes. And I could attribute a lot of my success to that one book.
Wow. Well, it's the same author, Marty Seligman, wrote the book Authentic Happiness. And so if I had to look at a trajectory through the years of clients that I've worked with, the ones that maybe they came to me in a complete moment of crisis, right? Because sometimes that happens, you know, you've got varying reasons why people reach out to a practice management coach, but the ones that tend to be happier, like their teams are happier, they're able to achieve their goals. I mean, it's all rooted in the whole, and I hate to use the term attitude, but the whole perspective. And it goes back to the, if you think you can't, you can't, right? If you think you can't, you're right. If you're willing to shift that mindset and say, well, if we could, how would we do it? You know, if we could do it, how would we do it? So that learned optimism, again, it's not a business book, right? It's more of a self-help book, but it starts with, there are other people out there that are getting the results that you want.
Yes. That is huge. I heard someone recently, and I have no idea if it was like a TED talk or a YouTube video or something. I mean, I consume massive amounts of media. We all do. But someone said, if anyone ever has done it, then you can.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. If anyone ever has accomplished this, then you can.
Mm-hmm.
That
too. It's so true.
But it's what we look for, But yeah, what we look for on social media is other people who haven't.
We're looking for the magic bullet.
Or the magic bullet, but we're looking for, well, this is this way because mm-hmm. patients don't value what we do. So they're always going to have no-shows and cancellations. Mm-hmm. Just this acceptance of...
this is just how it is, right?
It is what it is, and I've got no control, and mm-hmm. that is probably the most harmful thing.
Oh, I think so. And it really comes down to, and it was another consulting friend that shared with this with me at ADMC a couple of years ago, and we were at lunch, and I forget what the topic was, but she got out a piece of paper, and she wrote give, you know, she made the little T, and she wrote give, get. In other words, what are you currently getting out of this situation, and what are you having to give, right? Or if you can take the same scenario and flip it towards something that you want, right? And reducing broken and canceled appointments, right? What are we currently having to give, right, of our mindset, our processes, you know, what are we currently getting, right? So what's the current state?
Yeah.
How is it that we want it to be? If yeah. we really want to reduce it, and everybody won't respect our time, but a lot more people will, if we can, in a loving, positive way, set the standard early to make that happen. You know,
it's a multifaceted approach too. It's how are we going to, here's the problem, here's what we want to create, and here's the whole team. Here's everything all of us need to do to fix this problem. This is your part, your part, your part, your part. But then I think most people have that. But what I think the biggest broken issue in dentistry is, besides focus, clearly, is accountability.
Oh, absolutely. Well, accountability and coachability, right? Yeah. And so what that comes down to is we've laid it all out. And the easiest analogy to give, and I'm always watching things, so anyone that's flown, if you've ever flown in the exit row or you've sat behind it and the flight attendants will say, basically, Grace, are you willing to risk your life, throw the door out of the way, do whatever it takes to help everybody get off the plane?
That's literally going to be my life in like 3 hours.
Oh, so they make you answer yes. And so what they're doing is they're getting buy-in. So we go to all the trouble to lay all of this out. We tell the team what we want. It's like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Ready, break. We don't pause, right? And this is an oversimplification to say, hey, Grace, we need you to do this. Are you willing to? Right? Are you willing to own that?
Yeah. And sometimes we do. And sometimes they say yes. And then a couple weeks pass. And it's human nature slip because no one checked to see if I was doing it. And I just want to say this is where the business owner and employee mindsets are different. Mm-hmm. Is that there's less reason to change when you're an employee, and it's not because of any ill will or because they don't care. There's just a lot going on. So without that accountability, even the best team will slip.
Well, I just had a thought, and I'm sure there's probably some studies on this. And it relates to, I have a program. It's probably one of the more popular ones that I'm doing now when I'm speaking. Really long title. You might need your marketing advice. You might tell me to shorten it. It's Coachable, Capable, Unstoppable Dental Team. And it came from, no one ever taught us to be, if you're really going to be accountable, you have to be coachable. I think the two go hand in hand. And I know when I was little, until I was about 4, my mom stayed home, right? So you used to have this generations where you weren't just parked in front of the television, right? There was another parent at home, like guiding you, making you be accountable. Did you make your bed? So that may be part of it. But ultimately, some of us are that way because of our upbringing. And for most team members, this was the light bulb that went off for me. They may not know what it's like to own a business, but they know what it's like to own their household. Mm-hmm. They know what it's like to parent, or they know what it's like to have to manage that, right? They've got a budget. They, you know, have certain things that they have to do. So more of them will get it than we realize. We just have to put a different frame around it to say, okay, just like you manage.
See, and I appreciate
that. You manage that lane.
And I think that that's helpful, but I think without the accountability piece, the training is useless for at least 40% of people.
Oh, I get it. I get it. That's the whole accountability. Now, if they're not accountable, if they're not accountable at home, right? And I'm not trying to target any certain individuals. Hey, I moved back in with my parents for 4 months when I was 35 years old. But if you've got somebody that's way older than they need to be, that's working for you, that's living at home, and they're not doing it because they're caregiving, you know what I'm saying? If you've got someone that isn't responsible in their own personal life, they're not going to be accountable, I would say 95 or greater percent of the time in your practice, because they're not accountable anywhere.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
No, the accountability absolutely has to be in place. But I think if they can get, hey, just like you own your household, right? These are the things that we're asking you not just to do, but you own that.
Yeah. So I've got the best nanny in the world. She's like the aunt to my kids, that she's like our family. Mm-hmm. Her and I could not be a better fit in terms of how we work together in the household.
That's awesome.
There was a certain point of time where little things were getting dropped, and it was starting to create frustration for me, because I would go to throw something away and there'd be no garbage bag in the garbage. And I'd be like, oh, but then I'd feel bad about being annoyed by little things because she did so many of the big important things. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know how to communicate that, those little things, to her. And one day I was just thinking on it, like, I've got to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, how would I fix this in my business? And then I realized I don't have any accountability for her. I just have suggestions. So I created this board that every day that she is here, she's here 3 days a week, she's got different things that she does and takes care of on those days. And she just marks them off with a dry erase marker on those days. And I treated it just like a system in the business, like exactly right. Like a system in the business. And we have never once, ever since I did that, even though I asked 100 times, I felt like, right, probably asked 3 times for mm-hmm. the garbage bags to be replaced. But when she actually had to check it off, it created accountability. So those,
absolutely,
those little things, and I think it's on the business owner to create the accountability, because it's not her. It's not her business. Right. It's,
well, and for some people, you know, it's like they don't know how, you know, I'm not trying to say, okay, well, I don't know how, meaning that's just the be all end all, therefore it doesn't happen. If that's not your strong suit, work with someone who can help you
call
do
Penny.
That. Yeah. Call Penny, or, you know, or call Grace. So it's
don't call Grace for that.
No, okay. Don't call Grace. What that is that checklist. And often offices will say, well, we have checklists, and they do, but what's missing is the checking it off. Well, that's like kindergarten. No, what that is you have created, we'll just go back to the very beginning of what we started talking about. You created an environment with the nanny for extreme focus.
Okay. So we're saying the same thing here.
We're saying the same thing. So it's not that she doesn't do other things, right? But those are the things. And because she has to check it off.
Love it.
It's that has raised, what I'm saying, raised the tension, right? Now there's a list.
She's so what you're at calling focus, I'm calling accountability, and we're sitting here talking about the same.
It's the same thing. Now, but accountability is also, I think it's a broader term, right? But the extreme focus is your nanny does more things than are on that list, right? I mean, there's what, how many things are on your nanny's list?
It's a really cool list. I should probably share it.
Somewhere. Is it like 50 things?
It's on a big dry erase board, and it's like, what did they eat for breakfast? What did they eat for lunch? And then it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then there's checkboxes, 3 or 4 checkboxes for each day of like those particular chores.
Very cool.
So Monday is put away the groceries because they get delivered on Mondays. Friday mm-hmm. is order the groceries. So compare what we have and what we need to another list. Mm-hmm. Wednesday is straighten up, you know, whatever. But there's 3 or 4 items on each day. Mm-hmm. So when the kids are napping, she can, I mean, it doesn't take her, she's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. But that one little piece of communication, just like.
Right. And I think a lot of the mistakes that are made, like what you were talking about before, is practices will define it and they have the checklist, but it's that added component of, it's not a checklist that you look at. It's a checklist that you check it off, right? That's the only way for you to know that you didn't miss something. Right? That your eyes didn't go from 1, 2, 7, 10, you know, because somewhere in between those things, I'm sure she's getting distracted.
And every once in a while, and pretty regularly, I thank her for the items on the list and for how much she does. And I'm very specific about always praising and being appreciative. Mm-hmm. And then it makes her feel like it's for a reason, that's being acknowledged. And I think employees in general really need acknowledgement and appreciation.
I agree. I think everybody does, right? And it will never come back to the business owner the way, you know, I'm trying to think of the exact term. This was a Dale Carnegie quote, but it's like basically expect for there to be a lack of appreciation when you're the business owner, but it doesn't mean that you don't show it to them, right? But it's like the sooner that you can get, when you're the leader, that everybody's not going to be coming up to you and going, oh, Grace, thank you so much for my paycheck. Thank you for the bonus. Not that they won't sometimes do that, right?
I somehow have created a culture of extreme gratitude because...
That's awesome.
I will say, but I think it's because my love language is words of affirmation. So I am naturally thanking people and appreciative of what they're doing. And so then I get that.
Oh, they're mirroring you. Absolutely. Yeah.
You get what you put out, I feel mm-hmm. like. But I could honestly say, I mean, I get lunch for my team every Friday, breakfast on Mondays. There's not a day that goes by that I don't get appreciation. And
that's awesome.
I think it really does go both ways. And if you're not getting enough of that in return, you may not be giving it.
Probably not giving out enough. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, Penny, we have covered a lot.
We have. And it's been fun.
I love it. So if someone is in a place where they've got less than happy feeling driving to their office and they could use a little help with improving their culture and their extreme focus for their team, how can they get in touch with you?
Best way would be either to email me, Penny at dentalcoachinginstitute.com, or they can call or text 901-614-2234. And I would say, if they're having that less than happy feeling, or if they have a less than happy bank account, because as a business owner, that directly impacts the emotion. To me, a healthy culture means that the owner is not just in a continuous turmoil, or the owners, because they're trying to figure out how to pay their bills. You can't be who you need to be for your team and for your patients if it's not a win-win-win. So, and I would love to I do a complimentary discovery call. I am who I am on this with you. I'm not a hard salesperson. If it's a fit for us to work together, awesome. If I can point you in a different direction or answer a question, that's great too.
Great. And so if you do decide to reach out to Penny, you feel like she's going to be a good fit for you, launching Grace Rizzo so she can see that connection. As a marketing person, I always like to trace back where things are coming from.
Absolutely. Yes.
So I want to thank all of our listeners and viewers for being a part of the Dental Marketing with Grace Facebook group, as well as the Business Bite podcast and videocast. And if you do have any questions for me or Penny, just reach out. You can always reach me at grace@identitydental.com. And I hope you all have a fantastic day. And thank you so much, Penny.
Oh, thank you for having me. I had a blast.